This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Let us know by sending us a text 0427-JOY949 or on Twitter at SatMagJOY949.
Starting a family isn't always easy. It takes bravery. That's why at Monash IVF, we've spent over 50 years evolving our science so that you can have the best possible chance of success. It's why we'll leave no stone unturned to get you answers. And our team of world-class fertility specialists, embryologists, nurses and counsellors will be by your side every step of the way. Because at Monash IVF, we'll do what it takes together.
Joy sponsor.
Geeks Out is Joy's home of pop culture, sci-fi, horror, comics, anime and more. Enter the Nerdsphere to find out the latest news and reviews from a queer perspective. From Star Wars to Steven Universe, Doctor Who to DC Comics and Kaiju to Creepshow. Stay caught up on the past, present and future. Geeks Out beams down on Mondays at 7pm on Joy.
A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Joe Ball, my co-host Joe.
This morning we're interviewing Carolyn Gillespie, who is today still the acting CEO of Thorn Harbour Health. Now, we've had an ongoing theme in this show about talking about drag story time and the cancellations in the lead up to Ida Hobbit. So I'll start first with what's Thorn Harbour doing with Ida Hobbit, and then we'll get to drag story time.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. And hi, everyone. Welcome and great to be back with you today. I've been listening in about the ongoing discussions that have been happening, I suppose, not just this morning here, but certainly in the community, and hearing the real desire from our community for change and for both our government, our justice system and our community leaders to step up to really ensure that we continue to advocate and actualise safe spaces for our communities together. We know how important that is for community to be able to come together and to find safety and meaning and have fun and connection together. So in the lead up to Ida Hobbit next week, I think it's really quite a sobering time for us actually, that a reminder that these things are hard fought and they're not guaranteed. So where we find them, we have to really maintain that commitment to ensuring those things happen. And this has really been quite a sobering time for our communities, I think, in that regard.
Just for those listeners who would know Thorn Harbour under its previous name, which is the Victorian AIDS Council, and you did change the name about 4 years ago to address that the evolution of Thorn Harbour over time, that it is now an LGBTIQA+ service. Can you just take people through, I think it's worth saying, what is Thorn Harbour doing these days? Mm. What are your services? Mm. And just a snapshot.
Yeah, sure. So HIV work is the heart of our work as an organisation, as people know. And when I was on here about a month ago now, I was talking about it's our 40th year of existence. So, we have stood with and for our community for 40 years as of July this year. And as someone who is slightly older than that, it's, for the bulk of my lifetime, this organisation has been in existence. And that's not nothing. We came out of the HIV crisis, and part of the heart of the organisation is really our community and our volunteering activism to address really dire need in our community. And of course, through that time, we've grown to focus on a whole range of wider LGBTIQ+ community services, programs. We now do a whole lot of family violence work. We offer ongoing counselling and mental health support for our communities when right through our wellbeing programs, HIV services, aging, NDIS, I think pretty much if you name it, we do it. and of course, one of the things that we're proudest of Thorn Harbour Health is our commitment and work with our trans and gender diverse communities in the development of Equinox, the first trans health service in the country. So that's, that's one of the things I certainly, as a leader of the organisation, feel most proud of, that we do that work.
So tell us about Equinox, because I mean, this is a really, really important initiative.
Yep.
Our listeners may not be aware of it. So tell us a little bit about it, Carolyn.
Yeah, thanks, Macca. And so Equinox, for those who may not know, was a service that we set up to really address the profound need for trans and gender diverse folk to have access to a culturally safe healthcare service. We know that there's really significant challenges for folks in accessing mainstream services. You know, homophobia, transphobia, biphobia is rife, and health services are often a microcosm of the broader society and the issues that we raise. And I think, you know, when we have things such as the sort of far right rhetoric, those things do infiltrate, unfortunately, into attitudes and the ways in which our community feels valued and able to access mainstream services. So Equinox was really established to provide a primary care or a frontline health service for community, and also to really address, you know, we don't see being trans or gender diverse as a mental health problem. Mm. It's just who you are, right? So yeah. You shouldn't have to jump through hoops in order to access healthcare. So for us, it's really a human-based way of engaging in healthcare to support the community and to help people really live their lives and access the health they need to do so.
I think the history of Thorn Harbour's health, Thorn Harbour's Health organisation at fighting discrimination is actually very instructive to how we respond today around transphobia, because we are seeing the same attitudes and language and playbook being used against trans people that were used against gay men.
Yes. Correct.
Which is that we are being called the same names and for the same reasons. Like, and we've seen the same thing where gay and lesbian teachers, you know, not that long ago, 20, 30 years ago, were banned from being able to be at schools. Yep. They were not allowed to, they wouldn't have been able to do story times then either. And so we're sort of seeing this history repeat itself.
It's the arc of moral panic, Joe, that we're seeing. And I think you're right. I think, you know, the memory in our organisation and our communities actually is long. And unfortunately, it's our trans and gender diverse community that are in the firing line at the moment. But it has been absolutely other parts of our community. And we saw, you know, the horrendous stigma and discrimination for folks living with HIV and for gay, by men who have sex with men communities early on. And of course, that has not gone away in its entirety, but the intensity of the attacks and the othering is absolutely for our trans community. So when we look at Ida Hobbit next week, you know, it really is for all of us to really uphold our trans and gender diverse community primarily in that day, as being such critical members and our family. And for Thorn Harbour Health, that's certainly our intention of, you know, how we elevate those voices and people in our community, especially on that day.
I think the challenge here, Carolyn, is how do we maintain our resolve in this? Because, you know, when you fight battles as a community for decades and then you have to keep fighting the same battles. You know, I said to Joe before, the scene doesn't change, only the actors.
Yep.
So the very same slurs and arrows and attacks that were on gay men, you know, during HIV and all the ridiculous accusations and things that are said and now being said about trans folk and about drag story time.
Yeah.
How do you maintain your resolve?
Yeah. Look, I think there's probably a couple of things in that for me, Macca. I think, you know, we stand on the shoulders of giants, and I know that that's sort of a cliche that we talk about, but I really do draw comfort from folks who've gone before. I am an eternal optimist that the arc of progress will always, you know, move towards justice. But it is a relay race. It's not individually that we do this piece of work.
I hold it
now, and then eventually I'll hand the baton on to somebody else. And Joe and I do that regularly in our work, actually, between us, that we do that. And I think that, you know, that it is a collective effort.
I think there's something there about community-controlled organisations like Thorn Harbour and Switchboard and Transgender Victoria and Transcend
and Joy
and MQFF and Midsummer. And is it that these organisations, when we think about resolve, is they become places that we can collectively come together in and rally together within our own organisations, and then as a organisations together rallying, they become these places where we sort of, the struggle can continue and be held.
And I think they're creators of energy too, Joe. So, you know, the work is a burden, but the passion and shared commitment, it spreads from one person to another in those places and in those moments and in those organisations. So moments when you're feeling, kind of at a bit of a loss in terms of despair about seeing more rubbish that's being flung at community, in that moment someone else will have a bit more energy and can carry it, and then you feed off that. And I think it's a reflexive, recursive process between all of us to really continue the work and fight for equality in our communities.
Because I think that's the thing, is that the allyship, if you get from other organisations, is essential, because we make up a small part of the sector, if you like, or the response, or, the organizations, and that is essential. But the thing I sort of think about community control is that it's the place to do the leadership, and because we hold the history in our organizations, we pass the stories on to each other. We talk passing the baton, we pass the stories. Like, I always consider myself as a custodian of switchboard until the next person. So we pass it on, and we pass it on in our in literally the documents we write about our own history, in the meeting minutes, in the stories we tell about our communities. So
and the living memory of the work gets activated in the present. And I think we saw that, the monkeypox outbreak last year was a really good example of that, that the way that the community and, at Thorn Harbour Health, the way that we kind of activated the living memory of how to respond to a crisis just happened. And it was something that doesn't just happen because of now, it becomes because that storytelling and that narrative is carried through over generations.
Absolutely. And it actually took a little bit of work to get the government to listen around monkeypox, and it was almost a case of saying, well, hey guys, these organisations, or we organisations, we actually have some experience in this area, particularly around gay male sexual health. Perhaps you should ask us. We might, and they did, but they sort of had to be reminded a little bit, which I was quite surprised by at the time. But anyway, we got the outcome we wanted. I think, Carolyn, as we come up to Ida Hobbit Day, an organisation like Thorn Harbour that's been around 40 years, Joy's been around 30 years, the history of those organisations and the campaigns we've run, I know a lot of it now sits in the archives, but we have to be really diligent, and the same as for Switchboard, in actually... Joe has a lot of information. I have a lot of information. You have a lot of information. We've got to make sure that we pass that on in a form, not just to our successors, but actually to places like the archives and other, because a lot of the time the information is lost. So, does Thorn Harbour, how do you manage your history of the organisation?
Yeah, well, that's a really interesting question, Macca, because actually one of the things that we're doing for our 40th year this year is actually an exhibition over each of the decades of the work. Yeah. So we're actually at the moment going back through the archives and finding all kinds of gems of information and stories and collateral and bits of objects and things that have come through the generations. So that will be a real thing that will exist and be brought back into the present in the middle of this year. Already there's been some kind of wild and incredible rediscoveries of really important pieces of our history.
Yeah. There were some great slogans, some great safe sex slogans, which I'm not going to, we'll save them for the
they're
exhibition.
They're not safe for work ones.
It depends where you work. But we'll save those for the exhibition. So I'm really pleased doing that, because it's so important that, not just for those of us that still work in the organisations to look back and go, but for people coming through the organisations and for the community generally to see, these are all the markers that are in the ground.
Yeah.
This is what we've done, and this 40, is how we've 40, responded.
And 40 years ago there was no Ida Hobbit Day.
No.
So I think we have to remember the fact that days like Ida Hobbit exist, and that they are celebrated not just in our community but in mainstream communities as well. We shouldn't let go of that in terms of progress. And yes, it's in the line with the trans drag story times and other kinds of major issues that we have as well. So that's not to dismiss those. But I think we also need to hold on to our successes, and that's what gives us strength to keep going.
I think that's some of the history, I think, as well, is that – see, I you know, I talk to young trans people, I meet trans people, I see their TikToks.
Yes.
And one of the things is we have this generation of people who are growing up where their experience is that their lives are being talked about so publicly in a way like never before.
Mm-hmm.
So trans people have experienced discrimination since day dot, but the thing is that they've never been talked about in the way and a daily sort of in the Australian. And yeah. I think history actually, for these young people, they just feel like this is what it means to be trans. Mm. And I feel like the history of HIV and the activism around there is so important to demonstrate that we can fight and we can win and,
yes.
and together. And also to a point that a listener has come in and said is that, you know, it's not just trans people being targeted with the drag story times, it's people in libraries. And he's saying, as a gay man who does story time, I've been targeted and abused. And I think that's something we're seeing is that, and the HIV tells us that story as well, is that people who stand with us in our communities, they can also be targets.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot there for us to reconcile and learn.
Yeah, and I think, look, you know, as an ally of our trans community, for me too, and as the optimist, I always look at it too, that when we have progress, we inevitably get backlash.
Mm.
So the flip side of some of the backlash is that it only exists because trans people are more visible and have more rights, and our community exists more readily in mainstream spaces, and they're our spaces too. So I think we need to also hold that too.
Perhaps... We're closing now. You know, going back in history, ACT UP, AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power. Perhaps we need our community to have another version of that to support trans people. It's worth some thought. Might be a bit controversial.
Well, I think the slogan there which I always think about around the work we do in mental health and suicide prevention, which is the ACT UP slogan is silence equals death.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which means don't be quiet.
Yeah.
Stand up. So we can't be quiet about drag time. We can't be quiet about transphobia. We can't be against any kind of bigotry that's happening, whether it's, you know, gay teachers being not being able to be out in their Catholic schools. We can't be quiet.
Mm.
That's what ACT UP told us.
Mm. And the cancellations are moving us back to silence.
Yep.
And, in fact, actually, we just need to make more noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't stand up, you end up on your knees.
Yep.
Thanks so much, Carolyn.
Pleasure.
Really appreciate you coming in.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.